the good news according to the gospel written in the name of Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue nearby, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, fell at his feet and pleaded with him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be well and that she may live." While he was speaking, some people came from the synagogue leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the synagogue leader, "Do not be afraid, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the synagogue leader's home, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make such a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed. Then he put them all outside, and he took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl stood up and began to walk about. She was 12 years old. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Interesting statement there. What I skipped over is a later person inserted into this story the following story. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years. She had endured much under physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but growing worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in this crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his cloak, I will be made well." Immediately, her flow of blood stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of whatever disease possessed her. Immediately aware that the power had gone from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, Who touched my cloak?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" Jesus looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came up in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." The Gospel according to Mark. Boy, if we got a collection today. As always, I will tell you, of course, that I, as I've said before, I love the Wisdom School. It is a school of Jewish theology, philosophy, that grew up in Alexandria and was thriving at the time of Jesus, during his life. It included the author of the Wisdom of Solomon, a one scholarly Greek writer, according to the commentators, one who was thoroughly Jewish. But in those days, you know, Alexander had swept through that whole region a long time before. And it became what is known as Hellenized, strong in Greek influence. Thus, this wisdom thing that we'll talk a little bit about. But it included, just as an anecdote, Philo of Alexandria at the same time, who wrote the first piece citing God as Logos. And it was written down at that time. So anyhow, Catherine told me a little ditty the other day to keep in mind here. Christianity began in Judah as a caring community. And then it moved into Hellenization and became a philosophy. Then moved to Rome and became a religion. Moved to into Europe and became the ruling hierarchical power system. And then to America and became a business. So, the period of the wisdom of Solomon, which includes the writing of our gospel today, is very Hellenized in structure and meaning. And that influence is there. As some of you know, I was studying Judaism last year, part of a conversion process to see what is involved. And the author of the Wisdom of Solomon is very thoroughly Jewish, because what he is saying in this is that righteousness is, in fact, for the Jew today as it was then, sufficient. That is the basis of ethical Judaism. It's righteous behavior based on the Torah and its 613 commandments, including the Ten Commandments, or the Nine Commandments, or the Seventh Commandments, or the however many we see posted in Louisiana, as written, of course, by the hand of King James. For the Jews then and now, reading Torah is not just for fun. Studying it is not just an idle occupation. It is to know and interpret in today's meaning what these 613 laws and rules mean today. So yesterday morning, Temple Israel had its usual virtual class reading this week's selection from Torah and looking at the scholars to interpret it. Righteousness is the key. And if you read Wisdom of Solomon, that is what gives salvation to the soul. But it's about living. How do we live? And Richard Rohr is about living. How do we live? The gospel is about living. Both stories are a restoration of life in us today, which is what we're here for. Your souls are fine. Everything's cool. But how are you going to live? Well, another wonderful writer in all of this is the one who's propping up my notebook here, Cynthia Bourgeau, who wrote The Wisdom of Jesus. Cynthia is one of, she's an Episcopal priest and one of the primary people at Richard Rohr's CAC Center and teacher there. She goes into the parables of Jesus deeply and says, these are evidence that Jesus was a well-educated wisdom teacher. The parable is a is a component of wisdom-based teaching. And Hellenization, it is, you know, this little story I told about Christianity starting as a community and so on. Everything we're doing and reading today stops at the wisdom date, okay? That's where these writings come from. Paul was Hellenized. Galilee was heavily Hellenized. Jesus was Hellenized. The guys in Jerusalem, on the other hand, derived from Babylon. They came with a whole different thought structure. And that's the conflict that we see in so many places between Jesus and the Jews. He's talking about the city elite. Oh my goodness, are we the city elite? Probably. That's what we hear today in the So, for Bourgeot, the wisdom teaching that we're left with at this point in time is a Sophia-based view of things. Soteriology is a Savior-oriented salvation that came from Rome, later years. Sophiology, a wisdom path to salvation, is the basis of the Hellenized philosophy that in fact it strongly influences the Eastern Church that we don't talk about because of the Great Schism. The small girl and the woman who were made alive again, their life, given new life, was based on faith, on belief. So Richard Rohr says, you know, we tend to live our lives on the surface. We glide along, everything's cool, we come to church on Sunday, but it's easy to be consumed by consumerism, by the politics, by the debate. By anguish. But we can choose to live differently at whatever stage of life we are at. As I told you recently, I took an evaluation process through the Midwest Ministry Development Center in Columbus. Which got me involved in all these wonderful psychological tests and evaluations and everything. And at the end of it, they said, you need counseling. Oh, okay. So, well, let's see, after 82 years, I'm finally doing some counseling. Isn't that wonderful? Well, the other book that they recommended to me, that I commend to you even as I haven't finished it, not being a Brené Brown reader, it is The Gifts of Imperfection. Oh, I think it was Zella that said to me maybe a year and a half ago when we were back here fussing with getting this online system working, she said to me, Tom, you are a perfectionist, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I'm sorry. Well, this book has some really good teachings for those of you who seek perfection in what you do. She says, Brené Brown says, I am not perfect, and that's really okay. And so I tell myself, I am not perfect. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to push for it. We don't have to push for it. But I have to stay in myself. I have to give myself the time to find the contemplative presence of God in my life. That is our source of living and strength. I don't worry about dying. The souls are all taken care of. That's fine. I want to know that I'm living in my cell, in reverence, in contemplative presence of God. For Brené, she says, most of her anxiety grows out of the expectations that she puts on herself. Oh my God, she knows me, she knows me. So, come in, a new life in process. I welcome you to your journeys. May it be so.
May it be so.
Comments, welcome.